Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to New Eridu. Today is Saturday, November 6, 2010, and this is your host, the voice of New Eridu. Thousands of years ago in human history, the city of Eridu was built in what is now southern Iraq. It was built by a civilization known as the Anunnaki, whose advanced technologies and civilization conceived, gave birth to, and nurtured humankind. Under the leadership of the Anunnaki commander of Earth, known as Enki or Ea. Enki's interest in and love of humankind is well documented in Sumerian literature, and in Eridu, humankind flourished. Had Enki prevailed in Anunnaki politics, and had his plan for his human children been fulfilled, humankind might already have taken its place among the civilized races. From the seed that Enki planted deep within human DNA, that potential is now awakening. Now is the time for the sovereign, God-conscious human spirit, that miraculous gift of Source, to complete its awakening. It is time for the truth to come out, for the shackles on bodies, minds, and spirits to fall away. It is time for humankind to assert its sovereign right to stand as equals among the peoples of conscience. Welcome, Sovereigns. Thank you for spending your Saturday afternoon in New Eridu. And, of course, a special thank you and shout-out to all of our archive listeners. I appreciate taking the time to come listen to the show, so thanks a lot. And please drop me a note. Seriously, I keep asking that, and I really mean it. I want to hear from you. And thank you for everybody in the chat room. I see several people there already.
You have to excuse my voice. It is winter time, and in the winter time, my voice gets a bit iffy. So I'm going to have to stop every now and again and close and clear my voice. So just bear with me, please. This has been quite a week. And you may wonder a little bit at the title of the show this week. Cast a net into the water of life. And that has entirely to do with some of the things that have been coming across my screens this week. And I'll try to explain to you as I go along. But if you'll notice the metaphor, that's almost a Christian metaphor. It's definitely a fishers of men kind of strategy that's going on right now. So we'll explain that as we go along. Of course, as I described in the show introduction, the nature of a fractal reality is that what happens in one place happens in every place. And this past week has been a really good example of that. First of all, just tremendous UFO chat everywhere. Everybody over the last couple of weeks, and the last week in particular, has been talking up the amount of UFO activity, the startling strength of it, the amount of UFO stuff that's churning up in movies and in television. Somebody made a list I read the other night, a list of all the new TV shows and specials and such that's coming out. There's like 20 shows that's going to be coming out in the next 6 months that have to do with the theme of UFOs and disclosure and in a negative way, unfortunately. But the speculation is, of course, we have a government-controlled media and we have a corporate-controlled media, which is essentially the same thing, and they're prepping us. Okay, what are they prepping us for? A false flag? A real introduction by maybe a negative group? What exactly is going on here? It's been a lot of speculation. It's been interesting. And, of course, me. I've long asserted through this show, and the inspiration for my doing the show in the first place was the Anunnaki. And I am an Anunnaki contactee. Now, again, we're not talking face-to-face. I haven't been up in a ship. But I can't deny the information that came to me. It's information I couldn't have possibly known any other way. Well, lately I've also been a Pleiadian contactee. And in fact, I am no longer in contact with the main sequence of the Anunnaki. They have their own little drama going on right now, and I'm not needed there. So I'm off with the Pleiadians right now. I've had some very interesting things happen with them. I'd like to share a little bit of it. I can't go into some of the specifics because they involve other people. But I had one particular contact with a Pleiadian where I gave that Pleiadian a very strong suggestion as to how this individual should interact with another 3D Earth individual that I am aware of that this entity was in touch with. And I gave a very specific direction to this individual, Pleiadian, about what they needed to do. And the very next day, the person who had been the contactee, the 3D Earth human contactee, reported to me the exact behavior that I had recommended to this Pleiadian. So the contact was absolutely 100% confirmed in 3D. That is so important. It's not even funny. Because when you're dealing, as I am, with very ephemeral astral contact, telepathic contact, that sort of thing, where you don't have something you can carry away in your hand, you can't take a picture of it. Having a confirmation is like winning the lottery. It's telling you, yes, you're doing this, you're doing it right, and it's working. So thank you very much for that. That was needed. I appreciate it. Well, let's see, what else? Well, of course, I imagine y'all all know about the WebBot project, Cliff High and the WebBot project, halfpasthuman.com. What he does is he takes a look at the internet. He has little spiders that crawl the internet and look for linguistic patterns in things like Facebook and chats and blog posts and news articles, and I don't know what all his data set comprises, but it's a large volume of information. And then he looks for keywords, linguistic patterns in the material that turns up, and is able, using some kind of mathematical algorithm, to extrapolate future events. And so far there has been enough success with that that he considers it, and it's statistically provable that it's pretty reliable. It's not absolute. It's still an infant science, what he's messing with, but it is a science because it's repeatable. So it meets the definition of what you have to have for a science. His WebBot project has pegged from a window from now until the middle of this month, with the hot button dates being between the 8th and the 11th, of something big happening. Something's going to hit the fan, and it's going to leave a huge impact on the human collective psyche. And it's going to be a shock. It's going to be a revelation. Is it disclosure? Is it financial meltdown? Is somebody going to get assassinated? Is there going to be another terrorist event? Is a volcano going to blow up like it did Krakatoa did? Which, by the way, Krakatoa and that entire area, Mount Merapi over there, has already killed several hundred people primarily from hot ash explosions. And that was something I read this morning. The heat that was coming off of the ash. Now, ash is fine dust, like talcum powder. And the heat that was in this dust at a distance of 10 to 20 kilometers away from the volcano, the heat still in that ash, so it had time to cool down, mind you, the heat that was still in that ash was 800 to 1200 degrees Fahrenheit. That is just mind-boggling. These folks didn't have a prayer. How can you get away from something like that? You can't. And these people were in a village they thought was safe. So they hadn't told them to evacuate. And they were literally burned alive. So, pretty bad situation over there. Of course, Haiti's been getting it right and left. They just had a hurricane on top of they still haven't recovered from their earthquake disaster. Now they're dealing with a hurricane disaster, and they've got cholera over there. It's just awful. And my heart goes out to these folks. And what's worse is these poor people are probably kind of semi-reinforcing it on themselves, because there's a belief over there that they're cursed. They believe that one of their previous rulers made a deal with the devil to get the French out of Haiti, and that the French left Haiti after that deal, but now they think that they are cursed as a result of this. And, you know, when anybody thinks that they're cursed, they tend to manifest that. So I'm just praying that they will wake up and say, okay, we've been cursed enough, so it can end. I really hope that they can do that for themselves. Because that's what it's going to take. They're going to have to do this for themselves. So we have Earth stuff going on. I was watching last night. There was a little run of small earthquakes in Southern California. And, of course, we've got good evidence now that solar activity and earthquakes are linked. Apparently, when the solar particles hit the Earth's atmosphere, it kind of sets up a resonance. And it causes very slight perturbation of the Earth's crust, just the magnetic field of the Earth, the pressure on the magnetic field of the Earth, actually flexes the Earth's crust a little bit. And so when there's times of high solar activity, that's linked directly to also earthquake activity. And we have got a lot of interesting solar weather going on. So we have that particular venue is going on right now. I'm sure it has something to do with the volcanism too. Let's see here. Colleen Thomas's video. I don't know if y'all saw that. I'm going to put the link up into the chat room here. I was watching this video the other day. It was sent to me by a friend of mine. And I had seen Colleen Thomas pretty close to, I guess, a year ago. Not quite a year. I saw a video of her at a conference somewhere. And it was kind of, I found it kind of amusing, but it was almost cruel to laugh at it. Because she was standing up in front of essentially an empty room. Doing a talk at some sci-fi or UFO conference. And she was talking about being a UFO contactee and how it had changed her life, and talking about theoretical physics. And I know a little bit about theoretical physics, so I can pretty quickly tell whether somebody knows what they're talking about or not. And it was clear she actually didn't know what she was talking about. But she had little bits and pieces in there that were real, which I found very interesting because she didn't look like the kind of person who had studied it and didn't present as one who had studied it. And in fact, she had stated that her life, she had not studied it. She had gotten this from her contacts, her extraterrestrial contacts. And still, it was just embarrassing. I felt for her. It was like, oh, I know you believe this, but really, I mean, you know, this is probably not good for you. So, you know, I felt bad for her. And I just kind of like, okay, ignore that one. That one's got issues, and they're not something you need to pay attention to. But she kept popping up. And she's a pretty lady, okay? She presents herself with a great deal of confidence, even if what comes out sometimes is a little strange. She has good abilities in presenting herself. And for whatever reason, she has resonated with some people, and her videos keep popping up on YouTube. Well, her latest one, she is clearly channeling something. And the link is in the chat room. Please look at it afterwards. At certain points during this, watch her movements. They are distinctly non-human. I've only seen one other person in my lifetime ever move that way. And he was a fellow who did... He was like the Billy Mays before there was Billy Mays. He was like the TV sales guy, the sleazy TV sales guy. And he would swing his arms around in this circle and just look spasmodic doing it. And he would get this weird look on his face and in his neck. And I later on came to realize That's one of the reptilian behaviors. And if you watch her, she will actually look reptilian at points in this video. And then she gets to the end of this thing, and she's making this dramatic buildup about how the Pleiadians are on to stuff that's supposed to have happened, and if Obama doesn't do something, the Pleiadians are going to take him out. And she uses those terms. It's very blatant. It's a out-and-out threat against the President of the United States. And she mentions in this video that if he goes over to Asia, that the Pleiadians are, quote-unquote, going to drop certain people where they stand. Oh, boy. First of all, the Pleiadians don't do that. That's not their way. They're very happy. I imagine that there might come a point at which something would have to be done, but I don't think they're going to drop anybody in their tracks. Or actually what she was saying was that they would die standing up and you'd have to push them over, which is, okay, whatever. But she did say that the president was going to be going to Asia. And I noted that, but I just kind of went, you know, she's got some of this stuff right. For example, she said that the Pleiadians were taking a more active role. Well, they are. That decision was made last week. How she knows about it, I don't know. I was there when it got made. That's how I know about it. But how she knows about it, I don't know. But she had that part right, and she had the timing on it right. And then she talked about the president going to Asia. And guess where the president is right now? He is in India. He is supposedly over there selling used aircraft, which is preposterous. They said something like, it was some stupid little figure. I mean, we're talking like $10 million or something like that. Nobody, the President of the United States does not fly to another country to sell $10 million worth of used aircraft. Give me a break. That doesn't happen, all right? He's over there for some other reason. He is over there probably talking to the Taliban. That's my guess. I don't know this for a fact. I would be doing if I was over there in his shoes. Or talking to India about what they're going to do about Pakistan, see if they can get, if he can get India to put pressure on Pakistan to do something with the Taliban. Anyway, bad news all around. He's actually over there where she said he was going to be. Guess where Hillary Clinton is? Do you think she, second in command here, Washington, I'm sorry, third in command, second in command, because Biden's, no, he'll step down. Clinton is third in command, Secretary of State, going over to, Australia. She hasn't been to Australia, I don't think, in any of the time that she's been in office. And from what I was reading earlier from a person who lives in Australia, there hasn't been an official state visit to Australia by a member of the United States government, a high-level member, in 25 years. And they announced this as being an annual summit. Well, it must be a new annual summit because there wasn't one last year, or the year before that, or the year before that, or the year before that. So we got effectively number one and effectively number two, although technically number three, out of the country. I don't know where the heck Biden is. So what she was saying is that the rats were going to be running to Asia, and guess where they are. So the event that she had predicted was a dirty bomb or an EMP, or something that was going to shut down our electronic infrastructure in this country. Well, it is coming up on 4:25 Central Time, Central U.S. Time, and so far that hasn't happened. So let's hope it doesn't. The thing I found most interesting about that particular scenario is that most of the people were talking about EMP were also talking about it coming from a dirty bomb. Now, what's a dirty bomb? A dirty bomb is a conventional explosive that has been doped or is packaged with radioactive material. It by itself does not create fission. It is not a nuclear bomb. It is a dirty bomb. It's a conventional explosion. It does not produce fission. Therefore, if it doesn't produce fission, guess what else it doesn't produce? It doesn't produce an EMP. An EMP stands for electromagnetic pulse. An electromagnetic pulse can take out electronics. That's the thing that can shut down your car engine. That's the thing that can kill your radio, fry your computer. It's like a lightning strike, only on a much bigger scale. A dirty bomb cannot and will not produce an EMP. But most of the people who were talking about this particular scenario were specifically saying dirty bomb and talking about it creating an EMP. So that's told me right there, that's disinformation. The end of the world is not coming via a dirty bomb, and it's probably not coming via EMP either. That's disinformation. Somebody put that out there, and it's wrong. They want us to be looking in the wrong direction. Why? What's the right direction? Okay, let's take a look at some of the other weird stuff that's been going on. Over in the House of Lords in England, sometime in the last few days, one of the lifetime peers stood up and made a long, rambling speech. And I read a good bit of the transcript of it, in which he stated that some unknown, strange entity had made the offer to essentially purchase the entire UK. But it was to purchase all of the UK's debt. This whole thing was supposedly to take care of the debt, because they're in a bad way over there. And I think proportionally they might be a little bit worse off than the United States. United States debt's worse than Britain's, I believe, by a good bit. But we're bigger. At any rate, made a very strange statement about they were going to buy the entire country. Well, okay, the last time I checked, countries aren't supposed to be for sale at any price. That's not how it's supposed to work, except there's one problem with that. We don't have countries anymore. What we have are corporate entities masquerading as countries. We have the United States Incorporated. Well, it's Great Britain Incorporated over there, or United Kingdom Incorporated. Wholly owned subsidiary, probably of Royal Bank of Scotland, just as we are in the United States Incorporated, a wholly owned subsidiary of the Federal Reserve. So, is it economic stuff that we need to be watching? While we're watching the skies and watching, looking to see where disclosure is going to happen or when the next UFO is going to come down or where the next dirty bomb is going to go up, the next false flag event is going to happen, the next sinkhole going to appear, big sinkhole over in Germany this last week. What are we supposed to be watching that we're not watching while we're distracted by all this other stuff that's so much more interesting looking? It's got to be something like the economy. I will tell you this, though. Very interesting. The unmasking of some of the disinformation agents of the powers that pretend. And I'm probably going to offend some people because I may name some names that you're not going to like me naming. Don't get me wrong on this. When I say that these people are disinformation agents, I'm not saying they know they are. I'm saying they're maybe getting their information from contaminated sources and not realize it. In fact, I think that's probably likely in at least one case. But I can tell you how I know that they're disinformation sources. This one came straight off of David Wilcox's blog entry I was reading. I'm going to read this to you as he wrote it. This now is David Wilcox writing. This may also explain why, just days after this political masterstroke apparently took place, Benjamin Fulford said China should receive the Nobel Peace Prize in a public blog entry from October 18th. Now, I'm going to give you a link here. This is from some predictions that David Wilcox made on his website. And what he was referring to in that was some things that Benjamin Fulford had written. And Fulford apparently has done a great deal of research about the financial politics that have been going on. And according to him, that China, India, Brazil, and I forget who else, had gotten together and were essentially trying to seize back control of the world economy from entities like Royal Bank of Scotland and the Federal Reserve and the other quote-unquote Illuminati types. Now, I have trouble seeing this as necessarily a good thing. It's just changing the command. You're not changing the character when you have something like that. Instead of having the evil that you know, you have the evil that's new in power. Because I don't think anybody can look at China and hold that up and say that that's a particularly good or healthy system there. Brazil might be getting better. I'm not sure. But he's stating that China is leading this economic restructuring. And was specifically saying that China was going to be a recipient of a Nobel Peace Prize as a result. Well, of course, that's what happened. And China promptly locked away the person who was supposed to receive it, too. But the point on this one is, do you know where the Nobel Peace Prize came from? Alfred Nobel was one of the precursors to the Illuminati. So you have an Illuminati organization giving an attaboy to the Chinese over here. What's wrong with this picture? And by the way, because these people are taking down, guess what, an Illuminati organization. Now, that is typical Illuminati tactics. You have this constant appearance of a good group is going to come in and get rid of the bad group. But the quote-unquote good group is the same as the one it's just replacing. And all this is a delaying game. All of this is getting people's hopes up so that, you know, hope and change. Haha, where have we heard that before? That's typical Illuminati kind of maneuver. And that betrays it right there. And you know what else it betrays? It betrays Benjamin Fulford. It betrays wherever he's getting his information. Like I said, I don't know that he's doing this on purpose. He may have no clue. He may think he's doing the right thing here. And it also betrays David Wilcox because he's repeating it. So we have to be pristine about our information sources. We have to watch what they're saying, what they're talking about all the time. Sure, some of their stuff may be absolutely dead on right. It may be. Remember the old saying, the devil will tell 1,000 truths to conceal a single lie. And that's what they do. This is another of the Illuminati powers that pretend kind of tactic. And I'm going to read to you something that I wrote to a friend of mine about all of this. And I'm quoting myself here. A long time ago, someone told me, and I cannot now remember for sure who it was, that the deal between God and the devil, now this was a Christian-centric person who was speaking to me, specified that the devil could do anything he wanted on earth, but that he had to tell people what he was going to do before he did it. I think that's been happening and done in such a clever way that it took a long time to figure it out, and even now that we know to look for it, decoding it is difficult. Now, the subject at hand was a video from The Simpsons that presumably they showed some background. One of them supposedly foretold 9/11. I think that one's pretty famous. It's made the rounds. And then there's this other one where there's a false flag kind of terrorist event. And it was the one that was predicted for today with the dirty bombs. And in this particular one, there's a clock that goes flying and it lands in Homer Simpson's yard. And he goes, oh, ooh, it's time for a beer. So they were holding this Simpsons episode up as foretelling of what was going to happen. Well, what nobody noticed on this film, or at least didn't point out in the analysis that I ran across, was that prior to this blowing up, there was a guy that was you've seen those plunger type detonators. He was pushing down on this plunger type detonator. One of the people behind it, by the way, had blue skin. Everybody else has yellow skin in there. So we've got an alien in there. Is that it? What that was? He looked like an alien. Anyway, so he's pushing down this plunger on this detonator, and he's doing the typical, countdown. And he doesn't get all the way. I think he started 5 and he got down to like 3 or something. He didn't go all the way down. And he just said something really strange like, we don't have time to do the full countdown, boom. And I'm sitting there going, you know what? They're just talking about how many targets they're going to be probably. Or they were originally going to do however many targets, and now because they didn't have time to get them all deployed, they're only going to do so many targets instead. And nobody even mentioned that one. If you want to mine stuff like that for information, if it's even valid, it's like at least do it thoroughly. Oh my goodness, sorry about that. It's just some of this stuff is so out there. It even takes me aback. So I have pretty much got through all the information I was going to present in this show. If anyone would like to call in, if you have gotten any kind of clues this week or have had any transmissions, received any transmissions from your sources, whether they be spirit or ET, it doesn't matter, anything that has to do with what's going on, what can we be looking forward to? Have any insights on some of the news stories that have come across lately, give a call and we'll talk about it. And in the meantime, I'm going to find something else to talk about. I was watching Jalayla Starr yesterday, one of her latest videos. And she's probably not real happy with me right now, but she's changed her hair. And I realize that sounds very chatty, very gossipy, and very, that's just girl talk. No, it's not. I've watched Jalayla. When she doesn't have contact with the Anunnaki, she changes her hair. I don't understand this, but that's true. I've seen it three times now. And she changed her hair. And I happen to know she doesn't have contact with the Anunnaki because I know what's going on with them. So I kind of put up in the in her comments. I said, yeah, the Nibiruans are offline right now. They have their own issues to deal with. And her whole blog was about the issues of trust. It had nothing to do with the Anunnaki at all, too, because she didn't have any new material. Because she's a direct channel. So I just found that kind of interesting. That was one of those things. It's just, it's funny. If you know the inside part of it, it's funny. Well, I really am out of stuff to talk about here. So what are we going to do for this next week? I'll tell you what we'll do. This is something I was recommending to people who were who I had talked to about this prediction for today. And about in the longer term, the prediction by Wedbot Project that we're going to be going through something funky that's going to really wake people's consciousnesses up, and not in a good way necessarily. What I was recommending to them, and here we go back to our central theme. Here we're going to explain why I titled today's show the way I did. Cast a net into the water of life. What I've been recommending to people is that they imagine that this planet is surrounded by a silvery net. Because it is, sort of. We have a protection system in place here, if we knew how to use it. And I don't know if it's ancient technology. I don't know if this is something that's emerged out of the mass consciousness. I have no freaking clue where this thing came from. But I know it's there. I've seen it. I've used it. You can use it too. This isn't my deal. This is open access. If you're a human being, you can use it. If you are an Anunnaki, apparently you can use it. If you're a Pleiadian, apparently you can use it. I don't know about all the other humanoids, but I know about those. What I recommended was that they just imagine. You don't have to have... Somebody asked me, did he have to have astral projection skills to be able to access this technology? I said, no, you need a good imagination. The thing is listening. It will hear you. Because it is. And imagine that you are addressing this net. And this net has at every intersection a little emitter. And that little emitter can bias causality, because it can. That's exactly what this thing does. It doesn't change directly. It doesn't change things. It's like ninjutsu. You know, you don't, the ninja doesn't go for the direct attack most of the time. Most of the time, he just kind of deflects stuff. He moves stuff around. The force is still there, but it's going in a different direction. Well, that's what this thing does. The forces, it doesn't change the forces. It doesn't challenge the forces. It just sends them off in a different direction. And it does that through these little emitter nodes. And I want everyone who feels compelled to do so to address this net and to give some instructions to those emitter nodes. And the instructions that it should receive are as follows. Any negative thing that occurs on this planet, and by that I mean something where somebody has a negative intention, and they intend to harm other people, that event has the volume turned down. Just imagine it's like you see, if you could imagine 9/11 and turning the volume down on that, so that all that would have happened is the plane would have flown into the building and there would have been a little fire and it would have ended there. like it should have. Okay? Now, just imagine, it still happens, but it doesn't have the impact that it had. Imagine that happening across the planet in all areas where somebody's doing something they oughtn't to be doing and they're intending to hurt other people, that those events get turned down so that the effect is less. Turn down the volume on the bad stuff. Make the bad guys work harder to affect. And also, while you're at it, bias conditions so that the bad guys who are doing this stuff are obvious. That they trip themselves up and show themselves for what they are and who they are. Let's see who they are. Let that truth come out. Let's have conditions where they betray themselves. Please. It's time. It's time for that truth to come out. And if we can use a consciousness exercise through the form of imagining this net and giving it instructions, let's see if we can't cause some change to occur that will help us, that will give us some power back over the folks that have had power over us without us understanding how it works. Let's take that back. Let's put them on the run this time. And they are on the run. They're fighting each other right now. But we can help keep them on the run with stuff like this. Pardon me, I told you my voice was not the best in the world. Now, little program note here. On Sunday evening, I'm going to be guesting on another show, and we're probably going to be talking more about Zechariah Sitchin and things like that. I'm going to go ahead and put the link up to it, the Paranormal. The radio show is called Paranormal 101. And I'm going to be guesting on there. I would like to say a couple of things in closing about Zechariah Sitchin. And a lot of people ask me about how do I feel about Sitchin's work and so on and so forth. And I have to confess, I have only read what he has written that is online. I have not bought any of his books. I have not evaluated the level of his scholarship based on anything other than what's online. And there was a reason for this, and that was because when I was studying that material, I was doing so because of having had contact with the Anunnaki. I knew nothing about this when it started. My only contact with the Sumerian culture at all had been through magic, and I had gotten a very distorted view of it as a result, because the people who apparently are magicians that are into the Sumerian pantheon, at least this was the case back in the 80s and 90s, were very much into the dark side of it. And there is a significant dark side to be in, but a lot of that dark side is not actually dark in terms of being evil. It's dark as in terms of being either occult or misunderstood. And So I didn't realize that at the time, though, when I was studying it, when I ran across it. And I looked at it and I said, this is BS, and I walked away from it because it just sounded like a bunch of mumbo-jumbo. It sounded like more, you know, excuses to be evil, which so many folks that are drawn to the power of magic tend to gravitate towards. And I don't gravitate that direction. So I just left it and said, this is BS, and I never looked back. So when 20 years later, I have Anunnaki turning up in my head, it's like, okay, we're going to have to start this from scratch. And I was very, very careful about the sources that I went to, and I was staying within academic realm. Oxford University has a large online presence on regarding Sumerian culture and history and the writings and so on and so forth. And I stayed in that primarily to begin with because I was afraid of getting off into the woo-woo land of magic where I didn't know whether or not I could trust my source. And so Sitchin got bucketed in with the woo-woo stuff. And that may or may not have been fair. What I did read online, as I was reading it, my Anunnaki sources were telling me little corrections as I was going. No, it didn't quite happen that way. That's his interpretation. And yes, we can see how he could have seen it that way, but here's what really happened. It just didn't get recorded correctly. And they had all these little corrections there, and they were all sensible ones. It wasn't like they were trying to cover anything up. In fact, in a few places, they dug themselves a hole and admitted something worse than what was there. So, I have to give them big kudos for doing that. But in the main, as I understand it, Sitchin's work was groundbreaking and was very, very important. And if nothing else, it was important in that he was courageous enough to stand up and say, guys, I think these guys weren't from around here. I think these guys were extraterrestrials. And I think that was important, to recognize that there was something bigger going on than just some little tin pots down in the desert making like they were gods. I mean, that's happened other places on the planet, but it doesn't go on for as many thousand years as it happened down there, and it doesn't leave the kind of huge cultural legacy and footprint that the Anunnaki did. And it wasn't just in Sumeria that they did it either. The entire world has been affected. Every culture has been affected. And it was not necessarily affected in a wholly positive way. And they admitted that. So I have to give them credit for that. But Sitchin was number one to stand up and tell the truth. He may not have known all of the truth, but he had guts and great insight to have done what he did. So, Zechariah, wherever you are, kudos to you, buddy. And I'm sorry if I've inadvertently dissed you on some stuff. It was not on purpose. It's just, we got to do what we got to do. So, that's my tribute to Zechariah Sitchin. And at one point in the future, I probably will visit with all of his works and try to annotate what I can and do some work on it. But I'll let it stand where it is now because it's good enough for our purposes. Violet says the work of David Icke is the same. Yes, it is. And you hear me, I'll take exception to his stuff sometimes because he's coming at way too much from the reptilian angle. But that's okay because, if Zechariah Sitchin came too much from the Anunnaki angle, I'm probably coming at it too much from the Anunnaki angle. Maybe that's what it needs to happen. But, yes, I agree. Ike is definitely in the same category as far as intestinal fortitude for getting out there and doing the right thing and saying what needs to be said. I think he maybe has some people that are advising him that may not have all their facts straight or may have their own agendas. I'm not going to name names on that until I have a little more information, but I have a really queasy feeling about a couple of people that he associates with. And so I worry. I hope he stays safe because, you lie down with dogs, you get up with fleas sometimes. But I really want him to. I want to see him live to see his legacy. Now, what was interesting about Sitchin's timing of his death was that he missed the big conflagration that occurred among the Anunnaki. Whether or not he was in the loop on that, whether or not he was a contactee, I don't know. But he would have passed away when it looked like everything was coming back together again and was going to be well. And right now, they're purging stuff, so they don't look very well at all. So it needed to happen, but he passed before the purge came. So, you know, that was kind of interesting timing. So, anyway. I hope David Icke does get to live to see his stuff proved and get the pat on the back from somebody other than just his fans. I'm talking about from a larger audience. Well, I'm going to go ahead and close the show at this point. We've only got 4 minutes remaining. And going to send you all out into the new week with a little bit of soft music. This one is Numinous Shine by Kevin MacLeod.